And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How we doing?
Doing all right. Little tired.
Same.
Because I stayed up later than I was going to stay up last night.
Same.
But it's Friday.
That's true.
And got in okay. The road's fine. Kids going back to school. Get your butts back to school, kids.
Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
What's up? Welcome to the party, guys. It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been 2 days.
You could have been here.
It's been 2 days.
Yeah.
Longer for me. Oh no, that's right. That's right. The snow came.
Yeah, same.
2 days. You'd be fine. You get a day of us, and then you get 2 days without us again. Yeah. 4 out of 5 days. That's a big. Well,
you don't get 2 days without
you,
me,
man.
Then I get a day of pizza, Joe. Then I get my lunch.
Well, it's not me buying it, but yeah, it's a bunch of BS.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Wow, Keyser's feeling feisty this morning. Wow. Told you to cry about it.
Wow. Jeez. Tough guy sitting here by himself for a couple of days, and all of a sudden he wants to talk some trash. All right.
Got some glass separating him, and he can say whatever he wants, apparently.
All right. I guess so. It'd be like that, those Houston radio guys.
Yeah.
Say what now?
Forgot about that one. Oh, we'll have to show you the video. It was one of the great things that has happened in the history of this platform, I think.
It's something that could happen if we ever had a Stilly and Polly show.
Yeah, for sure. At any point, really. So.
Yeah.
If you're out there listening and you don't know what we're talking about, just Google search Houston radio fight and you'll see it. So
will that do it? Houston radio fight?
I'm pretty sure that'll probably.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll probably pull that one up.
Watch out, Keyser.
What a game last night between the United States and the Canadians. Canada gets the win, 3-2 in overtime. Connor McDavid scores the game winner. It was a back and forth game. It was. I don't really know how to describe it other than it was extremely high-level hockey and there was almost zero room out there for the majority of the game, given how both teams were playing. It got to a point in the third period where it kind of felt like both teams were afraid to make a mistake. And then I thought overtime opened up. I thought there's a lot of good looks for Team USA. Matthews had like three by himself. Brady Tkachuk had a look at an open net that Bennington somehow
incredible
got back over, made a glove save. And when he made that save, I was texting some friends of mine. We were watching the game. And I was just like, remember that one, because that one could come back to hurt. And sure enough, it did. McDavid just got lost in coverage in the middle. He's wide open in the middle of the ice. And you leave Connor McDavid wide open in the middle of the ice, it's probably not going to go well for you. And it did not. The Canadians win the Four Nations tournament. They come out on top. What a tournament. What a game. And close but no cigar for Team USA last night.
I haven't been that enthralled. Look, I was excited, but like I wasn't like, you know, I was like, I'm going to watch it. Of course, you have to watch this. The hockey to me was like, I just haven't been that enthralled by a game just constantly in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It's like if you compare that game, the level of play, the level, you know, just the level of talent out there to, you know, your average hockey game. I'm trying to think of like an apt comparison. You know, it's like you're watching. It's like you're watching. You know, like a so-so mafia series, and then The Godfather comes on.
Yeah,
that was a terrible comparison, but I'm trying.
I know what
like
you're
it's
saying.
It's prime rib. And it was, I mean, it was awesome. And, plenty of chance. I thought that, like, I thought Canada was definitely better, you know, like in the second period.
Yep.
And you think about Tkachuk. Well, Matthew, of course, doesn't play for most of the game. Second period, first of all, Brady has the one shot that, of course, could have won the. But the second period, do you remember the play where he had the backhand no look that would have gone to Matthew?
Yeah.
He missed him by about, you know, six inches. That I think that would have put him up 2-1. That could have been like – there was just so many, you know, so many plays like that, so many close calls. It was awesome.
It was great hockey. It was great theater. Look, I don't think the tournament as a whole, with the probable exception of, like, Team USA winning it, I don't think the tournament as a whole could have gone better for, like, the sport and you know, the game of hockey. And that's not like me taking a shot at Canada. It's just like Canada always wins these tournaments. So, like, getting somebody else to do it and watching Team USA finish that off on a stage like that would have been awesome. Now, what I will say, and I saw a lot of people talking about this in the immediate aftermath of the game last night, from Elliot Friedman to people who I know for a fact don't watch hockey all that often. It was like, wow, less than a year until we see this again in the Winter Olympics. It's going to be awesome. Like, I do think this kind of sets the stage for what could be awesome hockey next year in the Winter Olympics. But I thought last night's game was unbelievable. Like, you know, it didn't have the start that the Saturday night game did, where there's three fights in 9 seconds. Right, I think everybody probably knew that was not going to happen. And then when Canada, you know, Canada was the road team last night, so they got to pick the starting lineup first. And when you start McDavid, you know that McDavid's line is not getting in a fight
to
start the game. So I didn't expect that to happen. But I thought Team USA kind of got better as the game went on, which was amazing because, as you said, Matthew Tkachuk couldn't play. Like, he tried. He gave it a go. And I'll be interested to see how long he's out now back in the regular season.
Now that we're back in the real world, there's some teams that are like, dude.
Yeah, like, even Colorado tomorrow. Like, is Makar going to play? Like, is McKinnon going to be like, yeah, I'll see you guys in a few days? Like, I'm interested to see what the aftermath of this looks like, because, I mean, it was clear from the reaction from Team Canada. It was clear with the way the whole tournament went, really, but certainly the game last night, the physicality, like, every ounce of what those guys had, they poured it out there last night, and it was awesome to watch. It really was.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, basically, U.S. going with 10 forwards for a lot of the night, right? Because Kreider's hurt, too, so, I mean, that's pretty impressive, man. But yes, now you've got. This is, I guess, what some of these guys were talking about. You're going to have some bumps and bruises, and does it affect the season of a team? But you know, to me, it's a price worth paying for the sport.
There has been a lot of positivity done for this sport over the last 10 days. I mean, there just has been. And look, if you're a team like the Bruins, like, I have no idea how long Charlie McAvoy is going to be out, but it doesn't look great. Like, there's a chance that he may not return this year. So obviously that sucks, right? Like, if you're the Bruins sitting there, you're like, well, great. I'm glad everybody had their moment. Our best defenseman is out.
Yeah.
Or, like, look, Tkachuk, I think something's pretty clearly wrong with his groin. Like, I have no idea how long he's going to be out. Now, Florida's in a good spot. They're going to make the playoffs, and he'll have some time to heal up here. But, like, if he's out for a significant period of time, I'm sure the Panthers are like, well, great. That's awesome.
Well, and that's one of those that then you think you're fine to come back, and then you aggravate it again all of a sudden in the first round.
Exactly. So we'll see what the aftermath of it ends up being like for these teammates. There's going to be some complaining, like, especially if guys are out long term, there's going to be some complaining from teams. If I'm Gary Bettman, if I'm the NHL, I'm like, yeah, man, I hate your luck. I'm sorry about it, but you're going to have to get over it, because there was more done for this league and this sport through this tournament than there will be the rest of the year with the playoffs. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah. Like, this should, to me, this should, and I wish it was with everyone healthy, then it wouldn't, you know, but it's probably good for everybody to see. This is a reality, but, like, there's no, to me, it's not even close. Like, the scale is tipped way on one side. This should end any possibility in the future that we have an Olympics without best on best. It's such a great product, and it's so good for the overall product at large.
Well, it's interesting. You know, obviously 2010, you had Sidney Crosby with the golden goal in overtime for the game winner. Now, you know, he had already won a Stanley Cup before that. He won a Stanley Cup the year before.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah, great game, great series, which I'm sure you were thrilled to watch.
I was in Pittsburgh that night.
Yes. So, like, it wasn't like that was Crosby's breakthrough. McDavid doesn't really need a breakthrough, but he hasn't won a big one yet. And not that last night's game is a Stanley Cup. It's not an Olympic gold medal or anything. He talked about that. But, like, it is – it's a goal that Canadian fans and look, USA fans are going to remember for a long time.
I mean, it's biggest goal of his career?
Probably.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy in a way, because, like, I don't think – and I think I've seen a lot of talk to this effect, and I definitely am on board with this, but even, like, you know, people in the sport, like, a lot of people didn't necessarily think this was going to be take off the way it did, right. or be as
I did.
I never thought you know that it was going to be all star game type stuff, exhibition stuff. Right. You knew they were going to play hard, but yeah, no. I mean, I think that a lot of people have been surprised by this, but by the time you get to the end of it, it's like, yeah, man, like these stakes are high.
The stakes were high, and it was really cool. Just following along on Twitter last night, or X, or whatever you want to call it, and having people that I know for a fact have not watched hockey to any length whatsoever that were all in watching this game last night. I will be very interested to see like what the ratings end up looking like for this one. Because, it's kind of the perfect storm. Like, it's nothing else is really going on last night. You had the build-up for it, and then the game lived up to it. Like, we see this sometimes where the game – does not match the buildup, and then this one did. It was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Texture says, this was Joe and PK's worst of the week, worst in sports, and we're giving Keezer crap over this week. I think it was actually my worst, but then Kaharsi just said, yeah, let me say something else about that, too. Yes.
Keezer, do you feel validated?
That is my worst.
I smoke weed constantly.
That was my worst in sports ever. We all have to have a best and a worst of worst and best and worst.
Oh, well, to your point, you know. I don't think anybody really expected the tournament to go this way.
Yeah.
Heading into it, I was excited about U.S.-Canada because I knew the environment in Montreal. I knew it would be a good game, a good environment. I didn't know it would be that, three fights in 9 seconds, and I certainly didn't know it would lead to this. Like, I would not have thought this to be possible heading into this.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll change it to the best, okay?
There you go.
Got a texture that says NHL had a home run with this. Now we got to go back to watching the Preds after the great hockey we got to watch.
It was funny hearing like Ray Ferraro on the call last night. He's like, oh, yeah, there's a season after this. It's fun. It's good. Can you imagine like Nathan MacKinnon? You play in a game like that last night with the intensity level being what it was, and then it's like, all right, Nate, get on a plane, and you got to go play the Nashville Predators on Saturday. Have fun.
Now
in
you
a
need
regular
to-
season game with, like, you're close to the playoffs, but you're still far enough away from the playoffs right now where it's like, we got a lot of hockey left before we get to the playoffs.
Nate, now that you've avoided becoming the 51st state, you must zero in on the Nashville Predators. They are your new enemy.
Better watch out, Nate. Yeah. Ready for that anthem on Saturday night.
Oh, boy.
615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to the game last night between U.S. and Canada. Canada gets the win in overtime. Your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on this tournament, and what it's done for the sport of hockey. More on that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Taking your thoughts on the game last night between the United States and Canada. What a hockey game that was. Canada wins in overtime. Connor McDavid, the game winner. It really was funny. Like, I was watching McDavid last night, and, you know, when it's McDavid and MacKinnon, you're just waiting on one of them to go make a play, and MacKinnon did early in the game. After that, I thought the USA did a really good job of slowing him down. I thought McDavid was bad all night. Like, he couldn't control the puck. Like, he kept hopping over his stick. He was really bad in terms of, like, the decisions that he was making coming through the neutral zone. And he talked about it after game. He's like, yeah, that was pretty horrible all night. And then he scores the game-winning goal there. Like, I thought the way that Team USA played was exactly the way that they needed to play. They got loose on a terrible turnover from his own end from Fox. Fox tried that long stretch pass, then ended up getting picked off, going the other way. Marner makes the play over to Sam Bennett. So some puck management issues there. By and large, I thought they did a really good job of kind of defending Canada the way you have to defend them.
Yeah, and there were some other plays where I thought McDavid had opportunities, and he just botched it,
yeah.
You know, even in the offensive zone. But and then on the other side, like Austin Matthews, man, I mean, how about Matthews, you know, Marner, these Maple Leafs who are coming up, they're playing their butts off in a big game,
yeah,
on different sides of it. It's like showing up big in the big ones. What does that mean, Leafs fans?
Wow, I bet those Leafs fans are fired up today.
Ah, this is an omen.
Maybe so. I'm sure nothing bad will happen once playoff time comes around.
Yeah.
Never does for those guys.
Finally their year.
Yeah, it could be at that point. Like, you know, I saw a lot of Predators fans watching this last night, obviously. And, you know, this year with the Predators is going the way it's going. If you missed our conversation with Adam Kimmelman yesterday, we got a little bit into the draft and what you could look forward to there if you're a Predators fan. But, like, I think this was a reminder of, like, high-level hockey. And I saw some people talking about this on Twitter last night, particularly when the game got to overtime. Like, that was a game where you were holding your breath on every play. And that's one of the best feelings in sports, is like sudden death, high-level, overtime hockey. And it was beautiful to live that experience again last night with the team that you're invested in. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, right, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, certainly any Stanley Cup playoff, any game seven, certainly you get to like a game seven of overtime. I mean, that's what it's like, right? But it is different when it's like, you know, when it's best on best, your country against another country, right?
I mean, I was legitimately bummed. Like when McDavid scored, my head dropped back. I was just like, oh God, you were right there. Like it was, I did not think I would be that way heading into the tournament, but I was all in for that one last night.
Yeah, I was legitimately bummed when it didn't end in regulation. Cause I'm like, God dang it. I needed this. I needed this sleep, but that's the thing. I'll be really interested to see the ratings on this, you know, and how it did. I mean, look, ESPN. I mean, to me, I could be wrong, but I feel like ESPN talked more hockey the last few days than they even talk like during the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, like
for sure. I don't think it's close.
And I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have it on all day, so that I'm like taking score on that, but it's just like, I mean, really, that's based on social media, like constant stream of different people talking about it. Like, holy crap, they're just really investing in this. That's great to see. Yeah,
they lean into look, and to their credit, like we've been critical of ESPN, not only their coverage sometimes of hockey, but like we've talked about the difference in quality, right, between the TNT broadcast and the ESPN broadcast. And I'm not saying that like last night's evens that gap, because I still think TNT is like really, really good at what they do with the NHL. I thought ESPN did a great job last night. Like, I thought PK was awesome in the coverage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not a huge Messier guy just in terms of the
– doesn't say much.
The studio stuff, but I thought even he had some good stuff last night.
He liked to laugh at PK.
He did like to laugh at PK. I thought Sean McDonough called a great game last night.
Best play-by-play guy in sports.
I thought like leaning into – like the mashup they did with the Herb Brooks speech from Miracle and leaning that into. I thought the production was great last night. I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah, when they first showed Kurt Russell,
yeah,
I was like, really? But then the fact that they interspersed it with the team, I'm like, it was pretty good. That's all right. That's not bad. No, Sean McDonough.
My favorite part was after they did that the first time, they were like, by the way, Miracle's still streaming on Disney Plus. Make sure you go check that out. It's like, thank you.
There you go.
We appreciate
it. You got to do that. I think I've said this before, but if not, let me just say it again. Sean McDonough is the best play-by-play announcer in sports, in my opinion, for a long time now. And if you're allowed to take into account versatility, I don't even think it's close. I mean, he does everything, and he does it well. And I don't think you can find anybody else out there who does the variety that he does and can do it. I just think he has the perfect – you know, the perfect voice raise, voice squeaky at the huge moments thing. But yeah,
I remember he was the one doing the Titans and Chiefs when Mariota won the game, and the voice cracks a couple of times were awesome in that one.
Yeah, it's crazy how he seems to like be able to command that. You know,
like Officer Watson saying the game reminded me of Fisher's triple overtime winner. I mean, that's
a doozy.
That's the thing about, like, just sudden death overtime. You have a couple chances on one end if you're Team USA. You don't convert, and then all it takes is one shot. Like, McDavid got lost in coverage for 2 seconds, and that's the game right there.
And I mean, how often do we see that in hockey where all of a sudden the opportunities start getting juicy in the extra sessions? I mean, it's just, right, you're going to make more mistakes and – it's going to be hard to stick to your coverages at times. And, yeah, that's not the guy.
Well,
that's not the guy.
And, look, I'm – you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. We now are, you know, less than a year away from best-on-best winter Olympic hockey, which, as great as this was, I'm looking forward to that more when, you know, there's the stakes are really high.
You've got more teams. Other countries.
You've got all of the best players in the world participating there. And I'm really interested to see what that looks like. But, look, I mean, I think obviously around here this is going to be the wish. I think if you're just a general hockey fan and you're not overly invested in the tournament and the countries playing in it and all that, this will probably be your wish too. Like, I want U.S. and Canada again. I want it in the gold medal game. And I don't know what the seeding is going to look like. I don't know what the path is going to be to get there. But I want U.S. and Canada again for a gold medal next year.
Yeah, it'd be great. Certainly to play again.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you get – I mean, I assume, you know, we're talking pretty much the same teams.
So, probably some differences here or there, but, yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, that's a there's a rivalry aspect to that too when you can have, like, the same guys going against each other. I mean – you know, those Kachucks, man, they're a terror. They get a shove in every chance they get.
Some of the hits that Brady was laying last night, I was like, good gracious. Like, I saw
Who the heck did he just absolutely blaster to the – yes, it was Drew Doughty.
And he did it to Doughty on the first game, too, and somebody tweeted, like, Drew Doughty's going to retire after this tournament for being just blasted by Brady Kachuk over and over again. It was awesome. Somebody's mad at you for Kenny Albert slander, say Joe just conveniently forgetting that Kenny Albert exists, does all four major sports, and does a fantastic job with all of them.
He's good. I don't think he's close to McDonough, but yeah. Kenny Albert's good.
Good guy.
He's fine. Yeah. Love super. Kenny Albert. I mean, what a nice guy. No, I mean, there's a lot of really good, and that's a good point. I mean, he has the versatility.
He does.
I think Sean McDonough is criminally underrated. And I hope something like this lets people realize how great he is at everything.
I mean, I've seen Kenny Albert call a water polo match.
Have you?
I saw in the Olympics. I can't remember if it was the Olympics or if it was just some random match I saw. But Doc Emrick back in the day used to call some water polo as well. Can you imagine?
That'd be awesome. I need to find that.
It was great.
Now, there's an alt. You know, when you talk about hockey only, okay?
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, then we can talk about Doc Emrick, but I'm just saying, like,
I go back and forth.
Of course, he's retired, but I mean, we talk about the whole thing. It's McDonough
on a national level. Like, obviously, I got a very soft spot for Pete Weber here, who's also the GOAT. But on a national level, I think, like, in terms of hockey, I go back and forth between Doc Emrick and Gary Thorne being the greatest of all time.
Thorne was fantastic. I'll go with Doc, but back in the day, when ESPN had it the first time around, Thorne was excellent, no doubt.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on USA and Canada. Plus, Rex Rhodes got a draft take coming up next that I think is spicy. We'll get into it. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road's got a draft take that I think is spicy.
But first, Keezer, is this you admitting to us how you get through a week?
He's chuckling back there. He thought that was funny.
Let's play some cocaine at 6:30 in the morning. Just never know what that keys are over there.
Yeah. Don't know what that eight ball does, man.
Here we go.
Oh, knows the lingo, too. Okay. You got to keep an
deeper
eye on you
deeper into this
there,
than
buddy.
We thought.
You and PK.
I've learned quite a bit in my hockey locker room days, Joe Rexford.
What? What's going on in the locker room?
Lots of interesting conversations from my past, yes.
Okay. All right.
But no partaking.
Maybe
no.
Keezer needs a 30 for 30.
Yeah, maybe, man. This is going to be like one of those rockumentaries.
And I took that personally.
Yes.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to go.
I don't know how to transition from that.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm really serious about this, and I'm resolved. Maybe I'm doing these things too early, maybe late January, or maybe the beginning of this month. I was like, now I'm out on the quarterbacks, and I'm not changing on that. I like them. I don't love them, and I think you've got to be talking like this is absolutely a generational quarterback or close to it to take a quarterback there in the draft. So I've said that. But now I'm taking another step, and this is, you know, via the draft, mock draft that we did, because I got stuck. I couldn't trade. As I said yesterday, I couldn't trade out. And so I had to stick and pick. And so it comes down to that, kind of the debate that we've had, which is Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. And you know what, man? It's just, I think Abdul Carter might be great. I really do. I'm more convinced that Travis Hunter will be great. Travis Hunter is going to be great. He's going to be a great cornerback. And yes, this is emboldened by more and more kind of people as they go through, you know, study him. We had Nick Baumgartner on, and he's like, I mean, to me, he's like the next Charles Woodson, which to me means the second best corner I've seen in the NFL in my lifetime.
By Trey Avery?
Yeah. I mean, he's top 10.
That's good.
Now, meanwhile, you know, you can pick your favorite outs. And I know, again, there's people out there. There's still some people out there talking, you know, receiver first. And TD has done that. I couldn't disagree more. I think we're talking about very good receiver versus all-time great cornerback. I do. And I think if he's that as a cornerback, then you have to take him. I understand that cornerback is it as important as edge? No, it's not as important as edge. But a great player, like a player that changes your franchise, I think he's that. Someone who I think is really good, although he looks like he's 11 years old, Benjamin Solak from ESPN. But I think he's really good. He's putting out some film on Hunter. He's got this. He's got a clip of him like missing a tackle, and it says the only bad rep on Travis Hunter's entire film. Then he shows another rep where he just does some ridiculous stuff. This is what Solak says. He's so stupid good. Will easily be the highest graded player on my board. If they keep the pick, the Titans should sprint to the podium with Hunter's name on the card. Again, saying that he's going to be an all-time great cornerback. He says, I think he'll be that for every team. I can't imagine taking any cornerback snaps away from Hunter. He's going to be one of the best man coverage cornerbacks in the league the day he dons the jersey. Again, I got people saying, yeah, man coverage doesn't do a lot. I don't care. Watch the guy play. He is going to stick to people and be immediately an athlete who stands out on a field of some of the best athletes in the world. That's how good he is. So if it comes down to that, Titans, I am in favor of if they can trade out, then I think that's, you know, could they trade out and still get him? I think that's possible. You know, we'll see. I think trading out is definitely something that you have to be serious about. But if they stick and pick, he's the guy. He is the pick. Cornerback.
Why do you think there's so much, I guess, versatility in the way that he's viewed at cornerback, just in terms of how people view him and how good he's going to be at the NFL level?
This would be an interesting thing to go through everyone, but like I know Brugler is all like he's a corner, he's an elite corner, and you know he can do some stuff for your receiver. I think it's pretty strong.
There's a lot of people saying that he should play wide receiver like in the NFL.
So yeah, and that's why it'd be good to kind of like go through and divvy that up, team receiver, team cornerback, and compare it. I mean, obviously we've talked to TD and he's team receiver. Stilly, who apparently can't be bothered to make our show today. I mean, whatever. I take TD seriously on it. Stilly says whatever. It's, you know. Who else have we got on team receiver? You're right. I've definitely heard other people do it.
Yeah.
What Stilly said, I agree with him philosophically, which is if it is equal, would you rather have the guy who's scoring touchdowns? And like if he's that level of player, if he's the same level of player at corner or receiver, then I agree. I'd go receiver. I don't think it's close that he is. I really don't. He's such a great athlete, and he's got great hands. You know, he's a defensive back with great hands. So, like, yeah, I would want to play him some at receiver. But, like, people who think that this is, like, he's considered number one, I think this is the big mistake some people are making. They think that he's considered this level of player just because he can play both. Yeah. I think that's a bonus. But we all know in this league, you aren't making it 3 years if you're really going to try to play that many snaps in an NFL game. You aren't. You are going to get hurt, and everybody in the league knows that. So, yes, to me – and also, I flip it around. What's you're sprinkling him in at corner? Like what?
I don't know what that does. Like I've seen some where like he should play receiver, and then like in the fourth quarter of a tight game, go play corners.
Like, if he's
Travis,
that good,
you haven't played all game at corner, but get out there and go shut down Justin Jefferson.
If he can do that, he's got to play the whole game.
Yeah, I agree.
You can win the game. You don't wait till the fourth quarter. I mean, yeah. But sprinkling it on offense, you know, Charles Woodson and Deion. I mean, both those guys did that some with some success. I could see it being a little bit more with him, but yeah, I just that's a good project though, and to try to like all these guys, Matt Miller and Daniel Jeremiah and all the Kuiper and put everybody pick a team, you know. And I'm sure between all of them, you can find the analysis. You have to pick a side with him. I'm stunned when people pick receiver because. And that's just based on watching him in college. I was like, man, what a good playmaker. Man, he's really good. Cornerback, it's insane, in my opinion. It's like you don't come across these guys very often at all.
Well, I've said that part of the allure to him for me would be his ability to play offense. Now, I understand Titans fans, they're hearing you talk about corner right now. And they're like, well, that's great, but we need a wide receiver, we need an edge rusher, we need a quarterback, we need an offensive lineman. I would say this, if the Titans look at Hunter and they agree with your assessment that he could be an elite-level corner, I don't care that you have cornerbacks on your team. You take the elite player at that point, and you worry about the quote-unquote surplus at that position later on, which, by the way, I don't know that there is a surplus at that position because I have no idea if LeJarius Sneed is going to be able to get on the field at any point.
Sneed and Nwuzi might have 80 snaps between them left in this league. I have no idea. The Titans better hope not, but I don't know. I feel good about Brownlee, and McCreary is solid.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you hope those – yeah, you don't base a decision like this. This is someone that, if he is what I think he is, he's going to be with you for a decade, and he's going to be one of the best. Currently, think of what Jalen Ramsey, even for a few years, was. It doesn't last that long, but like that's why he got paid the way he did. Like it makes a big difference for a defense. You take away half the field, you can travel with anybody and just say, go get that guy, like, even the top guys. You know how valuable that is? Incredibly valuable.
So Rex Rhodes has thrown it out there. He has made the decision for the Titans. It's Travis Hunter, and he believes Travis Hunter should play corner. Your thoughts on that? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Rhodes, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Robbie and Rex Rhodes brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on Joe Rex Rhodes' draft strategy. He's thrown it out there. Travis Hunter's the guy, and Travis Hunter should play corner. Rex Rhodes believes he's going to be an elite cornerback in the NFL. Your thoughts on that? 615-737-1025. One texter says, Travis Hunter isn't that good. Y'all need to calm down. Look at the competition he played, lowest level of the Power Four. Rex Rhodes, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he didn't play any good. Didn't play any good receivers in college. Is that right? He didn't play anybody good. I mean, I would have preferred to see him in the SEC too.
Sure.
I mean, if all these players went out of college football, if you could put them in the SEC, it's historically, and I still believe today, the best competition, but. That's another one too to look into. I don't think there's much to that. He played some very good players. I'm trying to think in the, the Big 12. I mean, TCU's got two guys who are, like potential top two round picks. There's one team that comes to mind right away. I'll research that too. Ed says let Joe cook. There we go, baby. Yeah. Ed's on my team.
Josh on the text line says, I would absolutely use him as cornerback all game. I'd have special offensive plays that I'd use him on like third and long where you absolutely need the yardage or something like that. Defense thinks we're running, and boom, a bomb to Travis Hunter. Let's say they go your route and they draft him and the goal is for him to be the shutdown corner. I would be interested to see like and maybe it doesn't happen immediately, but as his career moves along, like how involved – would the Titans make him on offense? You're talking like four plays a game? two plays a game, six plays a game. I'd be interested to see what that looks like with him. I mean, I think at some point you probably lean into it a little bit. I'm with you. Like, the idea, and I know he's talked about this, that he wants to play both sides of the ball in the NFL, and that's great. Like, you're asking yourself to get hurt at that point if you're doing it for any substantial amount of time. Just with the snaps that you're playing and the level of physicality that you're exposing yourself to. So I don't think you'd see it a lot, but I would be interested if it's the Titans or anybody else. Like, and they view him as that elite shutdown corner. Do you even mess with him on the offensive side of the ball? And if so, how limited is it at that point?
Yeah. And of course you get the offense, you get the special teams, which we've talked about, you know, and that look, it's there's a real injury risk, you know, with that element. But, you know, that's one of those where it's like, okay, need a play made. You know, do you feel good, like, just throwing him back there for the occasional punt return? I'm going back and forth with Brent on YouTube, who says, Jalen Ramsey's a good comp. How many years was he a true impact player? Most elite corners have a short window of dominance. Not worth the first overall pick. And I threw Deion Sanders and Charles Woodson at him. Again, I'm talking best of the best. Deion Woodson, again, we had Nick Baumgartner on last week, and he said – basically, like, he is like Woodson is the cop, and Nick Baumgartner, you know, Nick Baumgartner knows Charles Woodson as well as anyone, covered him and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's lofty, okay? And what happens a lot in the NFL is you get these comparisons, and then someone goes in the league and they play 4 years and they were pretty good for two of them. I mean, that's possible. But, like, as a prospect, you watch him play football. That's what he is. He's that level of player. And don't throw at me that he didn't play anybody good or the Big 12 sucks. That's why the guy won the Heisman. That's why he was the number one recruit coming out of high school. Everything about him consistently has said, like, he is different. He is a different level of athlete, even at this level where it's, again, the best in the world.
Well, by the way, I mean, Jalen Ramsey was a Pro Bowler up until last year. In 2023.
Yeah, so, had a good run. Yeah.
Like,
it
wasn't that short. Like, right. You know, like, I understand, like, Jalen Ramsey has fallen off a little bit, and he's not what he used to be. And he was also a pretty big part of them winning a Super Bowl in 2021 in L.A. Like, he's, you know, his first year was 16. So, you know, he's been in the league 9 years. Would you like, if you're drafting Travis Hunter number one overall, would you like for him to be an elite corner for the next, like, 12 to 14 years? Sure. But, like, if you guaranteed me 8 or 9, okay, we'll figure the rest of it out later at that point.
Yeah, and here's another – this is a narrative that I don't understand, but it's popular. Brent says, different league back then. Corners could make a different impact. This league's about pass rush. Your secondary has no chance of that one. There's no difference, man. The secondary is always – been better if there's a pass rush, if the quarterback's affected, if the quarterback has less time. Also, like, you know, you have to have corners. Again, would I take the elite generational edge over the elite generational corner? Yes, I would. But to sit here and say, yeah, corners, you know, this league is about passing and it's about defending the pass. That's both throwing it, catching it, rushing the passer, covering pass receivers. Those are all the most important things. Notice that covering the pass receivers is part of that. You don't think that's important? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you.
Well, and also, like, you've got a chance to take a pass rusher here too. The question is, do you think that Abdul Carter is an elite generational pass rusher?
And
that's the question.
And if you told me, you know, everybody has to make the Micah Parsons comp because they both went to Penn State. I mean, I think that's why. But if you told me he's something close to that, then I'll change my mind.
Yeah,
I will. But I think he's going to be a very good player. And I think Travis Hunter is the guy out of this draft that is most a lock to be great.
Manny from Clarksville on the text line says, I don't know how you could say the Titans won't take a QB when they haven't even talked to Cam Ward yet.
We're not saying they won't.
I don't even think we've said that they won't.
I never
like
said
you said
that
you wouldn't.
Yeah, but I'm saying I would not. Right. Like, and then again, that's just based on watching them play. Yeah, the Titans and the interviews could tilt it either way, right? The interviews are important for the team, for sure. They could tilt it either way. But as you've said and we've talked about, are the interviews going to, you know, overcome or completely change like your impression based on the film, based on what you have seen this player do, this player or that player do on the field?
I would hope not.
Yeah.
They are important. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your reaction on Rex Road's Travis Hunter take to get to coming up next. We'll do that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.